This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 117. Tom, what's going on?
What's going on?
Stuff and things.
Yep, we stopped that both really quick, so it's...
It's fine. Don't worry. Don't worry about it.
But worry about what?
Nothing happened. It's all an illusion. Are we really here?
Huh?
It's a good blank face. I'm the only one that saw it, but...
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was really good.
That's how I spend plenty of my day.
I notice more when I'm driving than any other time that I've got slack jaw when I'm driving. Like my mouth will just be open, just like, I tell you, it is quite stressful though, driving in peak hour.
It is. I'm not a fan.
I don't like it, not because you're stuck going slowly, although that is annoying, but it's just the aggressive people who want to dangerously basically drive into you.
I hate slamming on brakes constantly while I'm enjoying a podcast.
Yes, which is what I do every time I am in the car.
It's peak podcast time is peak hour.
I just want to... Very nice.
And now, a word from our sponsor. We now cross over to the Science press conference for a science-related announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, we've done it. We have created cucumbers that taste like Twinkies using science. Ever since the first scientist scienced, the quest to do the most and the best with science has been the driving force of all experiments. All those long hours in lab coats with microscopes and Bunsen burners. By the way, shout out to Robert Bunsen. Great use of science there, mate. Yeah. And all the test tubes and scalpels have led to this. No longer will cucumbers taste all watery and cucumber-like. They now taste like heavily preserved American cake thingos. Sorry to the Twinkie Company people. Your 150-calorie treat has real competition now with this 15.4-calorie gourd fruit. Best thing is they still go well in salads and continue to be disgusting in sandwiches. Science says, you're welcome, world. Twinkie cucumbers will now be sold everywhere.
Oh, remember last week we had a...
Hardly.
Okay, well, let me see if I can help you remember.
All right, take me back.
Cast your mind back to a week ago when we did a quiz.
That was submitted?
Yeah, we got another one that was submitted.
Same person? Was it Carly?
Haley. This one is from Tyler.
Tyler.
So it's a completely different quiz.
Nice.
Yeah, so we'll...
Tyler's a great name.
Tyler is a good name. Yeah. I don't know where Tyler's from. Tyler just emailed thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. And there was no.
Tyler sounds like the sort of person that likes Ninja Turtles. I'm just putting it out there. I don't know what the quiz is about, but I don't know. I associate Tyler.
With a Ninja Turtle fan. Not a Ninja Turtle.
No,
just a Ninja Turtle fan.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Mm. Well, we'll hear more from Tyler later on in the program. We've got some watching suggestions. Let's crack into the news. Just a really quick one.
Yeah.
I saw that Lynn Cohen, I didn't know her name, but she passed away at the age of 86. But I knew her face. I'm like, I know you. Mm. So I read the article and she played Magda, who was Miranda's housekeeper in Sex and the City. So she's passed away. She was in other stuff. I know that she was in Hunger Games, Catching Fire, a heap of other shows. She's one of those actresses that you go, ah, oh, you're in stuff. So 86, good innings.
Very good innings.
Good innings.
Very good innings. There's no easy segue.
No, I've got one.
Okay.
Do you want to lighten the mood a little bit?
Please.
What you got?
Mad Max Fury World, its sequel starts filming in our spring.
Ooh,
later this year.
Ooh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a while coming.
Yeah. I'm amped for that. So Charlize is back.
Yes.
Tom Hardy's back, I guess. He's got to be.
What more could you
They
want?
Didn't leave him. I don't want to address the end of Fury Road.
If
you haven't seen Fury Road and you listen to this podcast, what's going on?
Yeah, come on.
We recommend great things. You don't need us to recommend Fury Road.
That should be a given. Did I tell you I spoke to the stunt coordinator once?
No.
Not on air because I was being the producer, but he was sitting like out in the producer's lounge before and after his interview. So I had a chat with him. He was telling me lots of cool stuff. He's really into it.
Sure.
So I reckon he would be there too. I'll have to look it up.
The we don't have full confirmation yet, but the one I need to know is whether the Doof Warrior is coming back. You remember the dude that stood playing guitar on the front of that huge stack of amps? So that's a Sydney guitarist. His name's Iota. It was hilarious because back when I was at uni, he was like a acoustic guitar Jack Johnson.
Kind of like you, what's his name, Lior kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like hippie sort of intricate stuff. Beautiful singer and this sort of stuff. So seeing him in Fury Road as the Doof Warrior is hilarious.
an iconic shot.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so flame-throwing guitar on the back of a truck that's like, yes.
He must have just been like, this is awesome.
I think he got over it.
How could you get over?
Because he was suspended on like a bungee cord.
Oh, that would be uncomfortable.
So he wasn't even standing and things like he was suspended in the air for half a day at a time in the middle of South
Africa.
Okay,
fair enough. Now I understand. Speaking of bungee cords, have you seen some of the like people have been filming and putting it on Instagram and Twitter and whatnot of The Matrix 4 being filmed in San Fran around San Francisco?
I've been keeping clear of it. I've seen that it's out there, but I'm waiting to see whether I should be looking or not. I don't want to say.
Well, do you want me to give you a couple of things that I saw? I only saw two.
Cherry picks and good stuff.
Okay, this is what I've seen.
Yeah.
Carrie Ann Moss on bike, Keanu on the back of the bike, looking very John Wick, but with like a Matrix jacket, big overcoat thing.
Sure.
That's all. And then another one was, I assume, two stunt artists, actors, basically running, jumping off a high-rise building in San Fran and then doing something and then pausing. They've got their, like, the pulley system going on. Mm-hmm. It looks like a bit of a tightrope. I just imagine that would have been quite uncomfortable because running, falling, and then the pulley, whatever, the harnesses would have been a bit ouchy.
Yeah.
It looked very high tech, though.
Sure.
But, yeah, if you're around San Francisco, go out and have a look, see if you can see some of The Matrix being filmed.
It should have filmed in Sydney.
I felt that. I did. I was like, ooh. They've ditched us.
Yeah, they've turned their back on
us. Yeah. Do you reckon it was even a thought?
Not a thought. It's not Fox Studios down here anymore.
Oh, that's true. San Fran feels a bit like Sydney when you go to San Francisco.
Sure.
So maybe they were like, well, similar sort of buildings. We can – I mean, it was never set in Sydney.
No.
It was just city.
We knew. It's like when you watch Superman Returns, the one with Brandon Routh, and you're like – hey, that's where Planet Hollywood was.
Yeah.
All this sort of stuff that happened up on George Street.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, I recognize everything there.
Planet Hollywood.
How could you forget Planet Hollywood?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Bruce Willis's saxophone is forever in my heart.
It should be in your house.
I have an album of his stuff.
Like album?
A compact disc.
Ooh, swish. Mm. Did you have a big listen to it?
I had a listen to it.
Okay, that's fair enough.
There are albums that I've bought just purely based on, that's interesting. Yeah. I bought an album of jazz recommendations from Martin Freeman. It was fine. I don't love jazz, but there was some cool stuff on there.
Martin Freeman loves it, though.
Yeah, like if Bilbo says this is good, it's probably going to swing.
Yeah, that's right.
I like swing, not straight, like not into noodly jazz. I like swing.
Oh, there's a time and place. I think if you go and see jazz... Like
sure.
Musicians play, that's really clever because you know you can see them nodding at each other going, do you want
– That's right, improvising,
yeah,
it's a beautiful
very
thing.
Clever.
If I'm watching jazz, someone better give me some soup. I used to go to the soup kitchen here in Sydney where you would go and you'd buy a cheap bowl of soup and watch some jazz cats.
So what kind of soup would be your best jazz soup?
Oh.
It's got to be a thick thing, right?
Like no.
It's like a more broth?
Yeah, I like it. I like a chicken and hearty vegetable is a real good soup for, because you can remember it's dark, it's dingy, it might be smoky. This is early early 2000s.
So if you've got noodles, that's a bit difficult. Yeah. You just want something you can get on the spoon and know it's not going to go everywhere.
Yep. But my soup of choice is going to be a nice hearty potato.
And leek?
I don't know about it in the dark. I like leek.
Mm.
Potato leek is nice. But I'm thinking more like a potato dips in sourdough in or something.
Bit of bacon?
Oh, yeah. Why not? Treat myself.
Yeah. Go crazy.
Soup chat. I don't know how we ended up on soup chat.
It's one of those days.
It is.
And I'm quite happy to go along with it.
Cool.
Yeah.
The team's still tuning in for The Truman Show. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, some big news on a little front.
Mm.
Sorry, that was painfully.
I don't know what the segue is. I can't appreciate it yet.
So they're making what is basically Honey, I Shrunk the Kids 4.
Mm.
So we've had Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Honey, we blew up the kid. Honey, we shrunk ourselves.
It's always going to happen.
Yeah, which I think is the last movie Moranis did, maybe. Maybe we turned him off things.
Fair enough.
And things happened in his personal life that he was stepped away.
Yeah.
Anyway. Disney are hard at work on Shrink,
mm-hmm.
the next one. Josh Gad is going to be playing the son of Wayne Szalinski,
mm-hmm.
grown up. And they have confirmed that they have Rick Moranis back on board. He's coming back into the fold. Josh Gad contacted him personally and was like, let's do this. It's been coming. He's done voiceovers. He was on Goldberg.
Little bits and pieces, yeah. I don't know how old the interview was, but I did see some quotes of his, and he sort of indicated that he didn't ever retire. It's just that he went on a break and it became an 18-year break or whatever.
He was busy with his family.
Yeah, he was bringing up his kids, yeah.
So the storyline of this film, what we know kind of is that his character is a hermit recluse. It kind of looks like they might be going for the same vibe as the most recent Ghostbusters trailer. Mm-hmm. Where his wife dies of cancer and he goes more insane with grief, trying, you know, he can't rationalize the fact that he wasn't able to shrink the cancer. So he's still messing with the shrink rays and all this sort of stuff. And I'm guessing that his son maybe is a scientist as well or some. Anyway, more adventures, tiny things.
Interesting that the premise is similar to his real life story. Yeah.
Think maybe that's...
That's what jagged him?
I think maybe it was written with that intentionally.
Hmm.
Of maybe it was his proviso of, I come back if this is the case or something like that. You know, if he's going to come back, this is a really good way to address that through a film. And, you know, it means that in all the press that he's going to do afterwards, he can say, oh, yes, this was for the film. This was for the film. And he can deflect away from his real life. Doesn't need to talk about that stuff.
See, this is why you have to be here for these things, because you think about stuff like that.
Yeah, I know how the press junket works.
Yeah.
And this is the very, very clever positioning that they do in front so they can deflect away from an awkward question that the interviewer doesn't want to ask either.
Mm.
Shrink. I'm amped for it. Hey, can I tell you another thing that I'm amped for, continuing down that?
Yes, please.
I know last week we were saying Mighty Ducks were hoping to get Estevez. Mighty Ducks got Estevez.
Yes.
And Lauren Graham. From the talking.
Come on, girls.
That's the one.
From the talking show. I mean, it's accurate.
They talk so fast on that show. I talk fast a lot. I know that. When you and I get going, we talk fast. We talk slowly for the show, listeners. You may not know this, but off the air, we talk really fast for each other. We want to get through stuff.
I think it's an Australian thing as well.
It is. We talk very fast. Mm. So Mighty Ducks is happening. We've known this. Estevez is back. Lauren Graham is in. The Ducks are the bad guys. So Lauren Graham is the mother of the main character who gets booted from the Ducks. And so they form their own team because the Ducks sold out, man. What an attack on Disney.
Quack, quack.
What a commentary.
Yeah.
Take that, Los Angeles, or Anaheim specifically.
That sounds like a good premise.
I know Linz is going to be there as soon as it's out.
Yeah.
Mm.
And she's only human. It makes total sense. Rainbow Six Siege is a game that people play. And
for a long, many years now.
Many years. And it sort of feels like the kind of game, because it's multiplayer, you work as a team to win rounds. It feels like the kind of game that if you were to have never played Jump In Now, you'd be out of your depth.
I tried.
And?
D- didn't.
Same thing. Yep. Yeah, right. Anyway, there's one character. She's called Operator Ash.
What a champ.
What a champ. Anyway, you can get a new skin for her. It's the Lara Croft Tomb Raider skin.
Okay.
You can dress her up as Lara. And the reason that I like this is because Rainbow Six Siege is owned by Ubisoft.
Yes.
Tomb Raider is owned by Square Enix. And I love that two different studios can just do fun crossovers like this.
Sure.
It doesn't hurt anybody. It's just fun.
I think not the blame, but Mortal Kombat. That series is going to be largely responsible for that because they always get the bonus characters in that have nothing to do with the game.
Was the last one for Mortal Kombat the Joker?
Joker and T-1000 was in that mix as well. Yeah. Joker was great. And when they first put it out, it was closer to Jared Leto and everyone was like, no thanks. Did the Drake no hand? And then they adjusted it to be like Mark Hamill voice from animated series and everyone was like, and did the happy Drake
did
face.
The happy Drake face. Well, yeah, you were talking about things that are coming back like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Mm. So there was a show, we've spoken about it before, there was a show in the 80s, I think mid to late 80s called 30-something. And it was a group of friends who were 30-something. It was sort of thing.
I've seen that show, Friends.
The
one with Phoebe.
Yeah, but less funny. Think.
So How I Met Your Mother.
Ba-boom. There's a bloke called Patrick Fugit, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Yeah, I know Patrick Fugit from Almost Famous.
Yeah, he's the main star from
that. He was in Outcast.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
He was the guy in Outcast. Remember that show we pretended to get excited about for a while?
And then we were like, not
good.
Not do that. So anyway, he's going to play a character called Ethan Weston, I think it's pronounced. Mm. So he's playing the son of two of the original characters who is having a few issues.
Of course, that's what you get him for.
Good, because he's 30-something. And also they will have a lot of the old characters coming back in.
Sure.
So it's like Degrassi Next Generation.
Oh, he's a deep 30-something. Cut Patrick Fugit thing. Do you think he was in We Bought a Zoo?
And he was.
He spent the movie with a capuchin monkey on his shoulder. I don't think it was the same one from Friends, but it could very well have been the same one that played Marcel because he only died a few years ago.
Yeah, and that movie would be close to 8 years.
Can we pause and check this? Because I think if you check Marcel from Friends.
Let's get on our...
We'll both get on our devices. Turn off airplane mode.
Katie?
Who played Marcel in Friends? Katie.
Katie was in The Loop, 30 Rock, and Sam and Cat, and obviously Friends. For 9 episodes of Friends.
Crystal is the other one I'm thinking of.
Was Crystal in...
Not at the museum.
Do you know what I would love if they were related?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, they were sisters.
We bought a zoo monkey actor. It was Crystal. It was. Okay.
Crystal and Katie, the two big ones.
I can't believe we just... All right. Coming back to the show, everyone. Sorry that we just... We had to solve that. It was not Marcel. It was Crystal.
No, Marcel is Katie, or was Katie.
That's right. Yeah. Crystal, you might know from the Night at the Museum films. That was the same one. So I thought we were going to have a nice link back to Friends.
I would have liked that.
It would have been a little bit. Anyway, 30-something. Well done, Patrick Fugit. Stay busy.
Well, at least for a season.
You do you.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
More news. Saw the Jude Law and Taika Waititi are teaming up. They're producing. Taika's writing and Jude is starring in a show that's going to be a limited series for Showtime over in the US, and it's going to be a satire on Hollywood, about Hollywood. So Jude Law is playing some sort of eccentric director.
Sure. I see that.
I'm already ready to watch this.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Bring it on, Taika.
Just a quick one.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Look, Avenue 5 got renewed for a second season. Congratulations to that. Still haven't seen it because it's on HBO.
One day.
Oh, look, the second it airs, the finale airs over there, should drop the whole season on iTunes and bam, I'll be into it. Yeah. Everything about that show is me.
That is you. That's a new show.
And then the other one, we've been waiting for this one for a long time because there were some off-air issues that we don't need to get into.
No.
Cosmos Possible Worlds, aka Cosmos Season 2, is finally dropping on March 9th, i.e. the day before my birthday.
Yes. this. It's really soon, actually.
It's not long at all.
Yeah.
So it's been in the can for quite some time.
But I
imagine because
up.
Of some of the stuff, they might have even done further special effects and tweaked it and polished it even further.
Also but, awaiting.
I believe if you're in Sydney, I don't know about the rest, but I believe in Sydney there's even some sort of launch event happening early March where Neil deGrasse Tyson might be coming out.
Okay.
Hex is going to have a chat with him. I'm jelly. I'm really jealous of you, Hex.
Friend of the other podcast that we did.
Yeah, and friend of mine from yeah, outside
exactly,
of life.
That's right.
But like... I want to meet Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Well, it's time that you start texting her.
I want to challenge into an epic rap battle.
Speaking of universe and everything, I know this is not brand spanking new, but I did want to take some time to have a chat about Netflix animated series Masters of the Universe Revelation, because my goodness, the lineup is voice acting is impressive.
Is this where Kevin Smith went through his file of facts and leaned on everyone? It's pretty good. Fire away.
Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Amazing. Lena Headey, or Headey. I always put the L in there. But Cersei from Game of Thrones. Sarah Michelle Gellar. Like those three actors alone.
Daphne. So let's play a game where you say actors and I'll say
the
what
other
they're
one.
Not famous
the other
for.
One. All right. That one might be a bit hard. Liam Cunningham, who was Onion Knight. What's his name?
Davos.
Henry Rollins.
Oh, Black Flag. Awesome.
Justin Long.
The Mac guy.
Yes, that's right.
Also from Galaxy Quest, the excitable teenager.
He was...
in Tusk.
Was he married, engaged, or just going out with Drew Barrymore for years during his Mac guy
I don't
phase?
Know if they ended up fully married,
okay.
But the yeah...
Alicia Silverstone is the final one I wanted to point out.
Alicia Silverstone?
Mm. Something other than... There is one thing other than Clueless that you should know. DC?
Oh, yeah, of course. She's Batgirl.
Yeah.
I had to think for a moment and then I was like, oh, yeah, there was that shot of her turning in weird blue light and close in on her butt. And I was like, oh. Even as a 13-year-old boy, I knew that was rough.
Yeah.
No. Don't do that to Alicia.
Yeah, leave her alone. She's sure. Yeah, just amazing lineup. And
cool.
I just thought it was worth going through the big ones.
I think it's very good. I still don't think it's quite as good as the voice cast for Harley Quinn. But that's just my personal take.
But there's also a lot of people in that
there
too.
There's Ron Funches.
Yeah, mainly Ron. That's right.
Yeah.
Have you got any other news?
No, I've banished it to the bin.
Yep, that's where it stays. All right, so last week I was shocked that I'd remembered that you had not seen The Watchmen.
Yeah.
And you were like, it's nothing against it, I just haven't started.
I just needed to focus.
I know you had started.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had started.
I got through like an episode and it's very disjointed and I was like, oh, I need to be in the right headspace to do this. I watched all of it yesterday.
I can't believe you did that.
That's all right.
I mean, I basically did the same thing, but over the course of maybe 3 days.
I very quickly realized that I should have just pushed on to the end of the second episode to start with because I was like, oh, I know what this is.
Mm.
Now, we're quite behind the curve, obviously, because this has been out for a while and people have watched it and talked about it. So there might be some spoilers in this chat. I'm sure there will be, but I thought it was very interesting and I know you wanted to talk to me and on my take relating to the comic and stuff.
Because I've never read the comic.
Yes.
I didn't know anything about The Watchmen, really, except I knew it was a movie.
So, yes, there's a movie.
One movie. And I knew a basic premise, but I think that's from you telling me about it.
So the comic came out in the 80s and it's considered seminal and many people refer to it as the best comic ever.
Mm.
Personal choice, whatever.
Mm.
It is very important because it forced the entire medium of comics to grow up and show that these could be written for adults and deal with adult subjects. It is the idea of who polices the police or who watches the watchman. If you're under a mask, you have anonymity. Who holds you accountable for your actions? You don't exist within the law anymore, so how does that affect you? And it shows that with different characters that... some of which came across to this next show, and they were very clear with the making of it that it was not a reboot, that it existed in the same universe, and it took a few episodes to actually really solidify that, and that's why certain characters don't show up until later in the season and this sort of stuff, because that's pieces coming back together, but the archetypes from the original comic are all there,
right?
Back again.
Okay.
This sort of stuff. So the looking glass, the dude with the silvery head is very...
From Old Brother Were Out Thou. I'll never forget him. That's the first time I ever saw him.
Tim Blake Nelson is amazing.
I always think of him from that.
He was serviceable in The Hulk.
Okay, Incredible that's nice. Hulk. That's a nice way of saying things.
Yeah, he did well. Yeah. His character is very similar to what Rorschach was in the original film and comic, of what that mask was inspired and this sort of stuff. But point I'm trying to get to while I meander through this is that Watchmen is a very difficult read because it is a disjointed skip through different narratives, including some unreliable narrators, plus there's a story going on that doesn't seem particularly it seems really inconsequential, of a young boy talking to a guy at a newsstand who sells newspapers, and then the boy is reading a comic of Curse of the Black Pearl or whatever it's called, a pirate story. Mm-hmm. And the comic sometimes goes into that comic and shows you that, and it's not till the very end that it all comes back together and you realize how things address. That's what this show does, in that you have disjointed memories that we don't have relevancy for, which we understand later is because someone took pills, that you have a narrative that's seemingly taking place at the same time that's actually across several different periods, which is exactly what's happening to Dr. Manhattan, the blue guy, and also to Janet on Good Place.
Yeah. I hadn't made that connection.
And then there's the TV show that we see many people watching of Greatest American Hero or whatever it is, which is American Hero Story. So it's a piss take on American Crime Story or American Horror Story, those anthology series. And that's about Hooded Justice, who is the little boy we see in the very first scene, who is the grandfather, all this sort of stuff. Yeah. So it does all come back together at the very end.
But it is a bit, I'm enjoying what I'm watching, but I don't really know what I'm watching. Like you said, for the first couple of episodes and then little bits click just enough for you to want to watch the next episode.
Yeah.
Which is, that's good storytelling for a binge-worthy television show.
And it shows that it's from the dude that was mainly behind Lost, because he sat down and obviously worked out all the answers before starting.
Mm.
So it all comes up. The biggest question I had walking away from it is what the fuck was up with that dude that greased himself up and slid down a drain pipe? He never came back.
No, he never came back. That was all we saw of him. So will we see a second season?
I don't think so.
I'm confused.
They've been pretty adamant, no season two.
Regina King is amazing, by the way.
She is. And the whole cast was great. I mean, even the slimy senator dude. So he was the main dude on Zoo, that trash TV show I loved.
Oh, yeah, he was I loved him in the last episode.
He's not Southern, but
Jean Smart, amazing.
Always amazing. She's been killing it on Legion for the last couple of years.
Mm.
So this is
really
Don Johnson, who was great in Knives Out.
And you remember that show he was in? It was a couple of years ago, maybe. It was English. And it had Ron Weasley. What's his name?
Rupert Grint.
Yeah. Don Johnson was amazing in that. Sick Note.
Sure.
That's what it was called. Anyway, Watchmen. Fantastic.
So it deserved the awards it got. It was laziness on my part that I hadn't gotten to it, but that's the price you pay when you try and watch new stuff constantly.
Yeah.
And find stuff to talk about is that sometimes a 9-hour series,
it's just a bit daunting.
It can be a bit too much.
Because that's almost like your whole week.
For me, maybe a night. Maybe a night and a half.
Okay,
a
fair
real push. But you know what I mean? I'm not a binge watcher. I like to flick through different episodes. So to sit there and do that yesterday was...
It's a lot.
It was a lot.
I think I found it difficult to watch that as a binge.
It's not.
I think maybe two
binge
episodes is tops.
Yeah. Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I watched a show on Netflix called Cats the Movie. It was about the internet cat, like famous cats. Well, I like cats, right? Oh, so that? I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch itchy this.
The thought of
yeah, it. Yeah.
Okay, let me. The cat let's is, talk about cats.
The
I'm
cat
excited
is not in the
cats.
Room.
I know.
The cat is not in the room. You can't get allergic know, reaction to me talking about it. It's fine. Anyway, I thought, oh, yeah, I'll watch this. I'm going to watch it about why the internet loves cats and why cats are huge on Instagram.
Sure.
And I enjoyed it for about 45 minutes, which was about halfway through, and I went, that's probably all this needed to be.
Did you end it or did you just hit pause?
Ba-boom. But what I liked is I've always had this theory about why cats are seemingly more popular than dogs on the internet.
Sure.
And one person they were interviewing basically said the same thing. And I was like, cool. I feel like I have been validated. So dogs, you can take out for a walk. You can take to the dog park. You can take it like to your local cafe and stand out the front and people go, oh, what a nice dog. Have a pat. Other dogs can meet other dogs and you meet the dog owners and everyone's like, what a cute dog. Cats, you're not going to take it out to a cat park. Like that thing doesn't exist. Mm. So cats hang out at home. I mean, they can go and do their own thing. But as owners, you can't really show them off out in public.
Sure.
So that's what the internet is. The internet is, and they say it, is a cat park. So people can look at other cats and go, that cat's cute and it does the same thing as my cat. I like that. Hit the like button.
I think that's a very solid theory. I would add to it, having worked in social media and strategy for a long time, that cats are unwilling participants. And that's a big factor as well. Dogs look happy to be invited. You point a camera at a dog and it's, oh, oh. It's a willing participant in this thing.
Yeah.
Cats don't want to be there. And everything about that just gives a general vibe of, I was forced into this.
Yep. So when you do get a happy photograph, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah, but even the unhappy cat photographs, people
still
love all that.
Amazing.
That's big me. Such a mood.
I'm doing it. And they were talking about, do you remember lolcats?
Yep.
Like that whole language that never made sense because you know that's not how cats think. But I is eating sandwich and I'd completely forgotten about that. So if you like the internet and a bit of the history of the internet and you like cats, that's on Netflix. But I did think it felt a bit long.
Went on. Yeah. Mm. Yes, yeah, that's... I'm really interested in the idea of that. It's like a 3-minute BuzzFeed video.
Yeah, actually, BuzzFeed could have done a 15-minute thing.
Oh, that's 3 minutes. Give me some bullet points. Give me a text overlay. Happy with that. Move. That's 45. That's halfway.
That was halfway.
That's a long ball of yarn.
I know that they did it because it was supposed to be a documentary, and a documentary is supposed to be movie length, but it's just... I think they would have been happy with the series, and I think someone's talked them down off
sure.
that.
Sure.
Cats. What else have you watched?
Look, here's a few little updates. We'll get to some new stuff in a minute, but there were three things that I saw that I was just like, I have to tell you about them.
Go.
Impractical Jokers had their 200th episode.
It's a lot of shows.
It is. They're basically now behind, like, Friends and MASH.
Wow.
That's about it.
Okay.
It's not too much. But it was in Hollywood. They flew out all their crew and did all their stuff there for a week. It was a one-hour episode. Then there was a one-hour breakdown on the first 200 episodes after that. And then there was After Party with Joey Fatone after that. So it was like 2 and a bit hours of jokers. It was great. When they were in Hollywood, they had one challenge where they had tangled up headphone cords. You had to stop someone in the street, ask them to untangle the cords as quickly as possible. While Jay and Silent Bob ran at you, coming to pants you, like dack you.
So hang on. So who was going to get dack?
Joker was right. Encouraging someone to untangle these cords. If they didn't untangle them in time, the Joker got
okay.
pants.
That's
from
what
this
I thought.
Person
I just
randomly by like Jason Mewes yeah. and Kevin Smith in full costume as Jay and Silent Bob because they know those guys. They're real tight.
It's a lot to take.
It was very, very funny. Great episode. Over on Lego Masters, the thing this week was Space Smash. Contestants had to build a space-themed building creation. They had 13 hours for it, and then it got destroyed. And they got told in advance of whether it would be hit with a baseball bat, thrown off a second story, or exploded from within.
Oh, I'd want the exploded from within. Like if my 13-hour piece of Lego art has to be destroyed. I want it to be destroyed from within.
They looked pretty good because it was all filmed in slow-mo. And the winner this week was the one that looked best in slow-mo. So it wasn't necessarily about the biggest explosion. It was about how you thought the story through of how things would come apart. So one of the guys was being hit by a baseball bat and they built a volcano that when it got hit by the baseball bat, the insides were all red, yellow, orange bricks. So the end result was lava spilled everywhere. But the coolest one was these guys, a married couple. They built like this round alien thing with giant tentacles coming off the top and a huge mouth. And then a pole coming up with it with a big stick of dynamite. And then a robot hero on top of that coming down, like being a hero. And their one got dropped. And they'd done the engineering. So as it hit the ground, the alien started to shatter and the bomb went into its mouth and hit the ground at the same time as the aliens shatter. So it looks like this dynamite blows it up from within.
Wow.
And then the hero gets knocked up in the air and ricocheted.
Gee, they're okay. This is the second week.
Yep. The standards on this is insane. And Maya Balak came and hung out for the episode.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she was like, if we're going to...
Wow, that's engineering.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
It's not just build us a nice house.
No.
It's build something that looks amazing, then we're going to destroy it. It needs to look amazing in slow-mo, and then it needs to look cool after.
That's, yeah. Wow.
So that was dope. And then the other thing I saw that was great fun, I told you about that show Brain Games, hosted by Keegan-Michael Key. This week's guest was Jack Black, and it was all about music. And it was just Jack Black rocking out, dancing around with a guitar. Megan Trainor, came out at one point and they did a fun improv song together.
That's cool.
Kyle was there so they could do some Tenacious D.
Was he just wearing a plain T-shirt and shorts?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
If it was anything else, I'd be disappointed.
It was a really solid watch.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yep,
good fun. You've been watching some good stuff.
I have been.
You didn't say the magic word. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I watched something that back in the day got mixed reviews. People were like, yeah, it was all right. And I thought, well, I've got a Sunday afternoon. I'm gonna watch it. So I watched Ready Player One, which maybe 4 or 5 years ago, listened to the audiobook.
I remember you being excited for the film, and then when it came out, it was a lukewarm reception, and you and I both just stayed away.
Yeah, just like, no. And I think that's why I actually enjoyed it, because I was going in expecting lukewarm reception. They did change a few things, and I understand why they changed those. Mm-hmm. For example, so it's obviously all about virtual reality. Everybody lives in this virtual reality world called the Oasis, because that's way better than the reality of life.
Sure.
And, I mean, people have done that before. I remember there was something in Red Dwarf about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a big trope.
Yeah.
Escaping and staying within.
Yeah. Anyway, so that bit's not especially groundbreaking, but there was a game, a mission. Like, the thing is, if you can figure out this puzzle that people have for years have been trying to figure out, you will be the single owner of the Oasis. So each, and it's incredibly difficult anyway, there are little missions that people have to go through. And in the book, it's, you know, play this retro game, because it's all about retro games and the 80s and that kind of thing. So they were doing that for each round, but they changed it in the movie to be more movie-like, so they had to get through The Shining.
Sure.
And I can imagine why people would have thought that was like going too far away from the book, but I think it made more visual sense and more movie reference sense for a movie to have that in there. And they made it funny and amusing, and there was retro gaming in parts of it. But you were talking about, you know, the robot on top of the... Yeah, like being the hero. So I remember in the book there was this big, huge fight scene with thousands of people's different avatars.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, I hope they put that in there. And they did, and it looked amazing. The DeLorean goes through at one point.
Was the Iron Giant there?
Yes, Iron Giant was there. Yeah.
Good. And Freddy.
There was Godzilla. A whole heap of people. You saw some Overwatch characters go in and out. So there are cool little references in there. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fun movie, and now I'm sad that it didn't go as well as it did, because I think it was what it was supposed to be.
Sure.
So it was Steven Spielberg, usually, you know that there's a level of quality there, and it's that kind of thing. Yeah. So, yeah. I reckon just watch it.
Okay.
It's a relax.
Still waiting outside a pizzeria for Fry to return? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Saturday we had a special Shay Day.
Ooh, so this sounds like it's going to have some good stuff.
We went out early in the morning and went and saw Sonic the Hedgehog.
Which apparently, like,
is
critics...
better than I expected.
And the box office for it has gone... better than they expected.
I think it's the number one video game movie adaptation of all time yet. Better than Detective Pikachu, which surprises
me. That surprises me. And it also surprises me because now everybody who, like all gamers and stuff who always rag on Sonic will now be like...
yep, got to go faster. No, look, I was really impressed. Jim Carrey was having a whale of a time.
He looked perfect for that.
I'm not kidding when I say this. It felt like... Ace Ventura era.
Nice. Jim I like Carrey. That. That makes me happy.
He was there to entertain himself.
Okay.
And just, it makes some very interesting choices. The film is clearly the first of a series it wants to be. It sets things up for later of what's going to happen with Dr. Robotnik becoming Eggman and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I mean, the fact that the box office has gone so well, we're definitely going to get at least one more.
James Marsden kills it.
He's
so
just,
good.
He's so solid in everything.
Elements of this reminded me of Enchanted.
Okay.
It's that idea of someone coming from a fantasy world into our world and having to adjust.
Mm.
And he plays such a fantastic straight man for that.
Mm.
So obviously that's not what he was in Enchanted. Mm. But he kind of, I got the same sort of vibe from it. Of
interesting.
A ridiculously optimistic character trying to bring some happiness back into a very cynical world.
Mm.
Ben Schwartz is great as Sonic. It is a kid's movie. Don't get me wrong. Like, it is aiming young. But Shay loved it. And
oh, good.
Had no interest in Sonic whatsoever beforehand.
Did she know of Sonic?
No, only from seeing posters around of, I want to see this movie.
Okay.
Didn't know the game. Afterwards, she comes out and she's like, I want to know more about Sonic. I'm like, let's go to EB Games.
Did you get Sonic Mania?
I think she got Sonic Forces and Sonic Mario and Sonic go to the 2020 Tokyo Olympics.
Yep. She'll love that.
Yes.
There's apparently a Sonic Racing that kids love.
There's multiple Sonic games at the moment. It's been a bit of a Sonic Renaissance.
Mm.
Renaissonic. I don't know.
Oh, very clever.
Thank you. So I would give that a thumbs up. I enjoyed one part so much I made a note on my phone during the film. You act like you've never seen a fight between a blue space alien and a robot with a doctorate. That's the tone. It's good. It's good. The other one, to bookend the day of surprises for Shay, Zombies 2 dropped on Valentine's Day in the States. So Saturday for us. So we watched that at night.
And?
Again, better than expected. Clearly, Disney have noticed that the first Zombies did great. They don't have Descendants anymore, so this film has a bigger budget. They have werewolves now, so it's not just zombies.
Bit Twilight-y.
Very Twilight-y. Shay loved it. I ate my Chinese. It wasn't bad.
Well, what did you have?
What did I have? Honey chicken.
Yeah, nice. Fried rice or just plain?
Me, steamed, because I like to wrap things in steamed rice and I don't egg.
No, I think that's a solid choice of food and obviously visual entertainment.
Yeah, so if you've seen the first Zombies and you enjoyed it, definitely spend your time in Zombies 2. If you are an adult and don't know any children, continue your existence not knowing what I'm talking about.
Brilliant. I think I spoke about this last week. I did a quick reference to it because I watched it a few weeks ago now, but Rough Night.
Yes.
Scarlett Johansson. And Zoe Kravitz is in it. You've got Kate McKinnon, who is doing an Aussie accent, which... but at the same time, I mean, there were words where you're like, oh, that's not even right. Or you've gone a bit New Zealander there.
Mm.
But better than most Americans can do.
Here's... better or worse than Simone on Good Place?
Oh, she was better.
Okay, good.
Yeah, she was better. And that surprises me about Simone because she's English and usually they're okay with the Australian accent.
Yeah, you think she'd do better. Just hire an Aussie.
Just watch some Neighbours and Home and Away. You know you've watched it growing up, Simone.
That's it. The accent she was going for was closer to Steve Irwin.
And that's never what she would be.
Hello.
Don't speak, you know. Simone, please. What was it talking about?
Oh,
Rough Night.
Look at the shape of this brain.
Don't say that, Simone. It's not you. Rough Night. So they go to an Airbnb, like a nice big mansion thing. Girls' night, girls' weekend away for a hen's night kind of thing. Mm. And a stripper comes and things go very, very wrong.
Isn't that a movie called Very Bad Things with Christian Slater and Daniel Stern?
I also thought it was going to have a touch of the Game Night aspect to it.
That's the one with Rebel. Is Game No, not Game Night.
No,
that's
Game
the one
Night's
with Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman's in that. And
McAdams?
No. Yeah, Rachel McAdams. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
I like it more than Rough Night, but Rough Night was still It was just a bit of fun.
Sure.
Yeah.
Escapist fair.
It's not the bestest thing in the world. It's not the worstest thing in the world. And it's yet another piece of example that Zoe Kravitz is in everything.
Sure.
Now. Everything.
Busy.
We were also talking about her Hulu High Fidelity show that's coming out, or it might just be out now. People really like it.
They're on board?
Well, at least that's what some critics are saying.
Nice.
So it exists. Anything else?
I watched the first two episodes of Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet.
Brilliant.
Which I know I've talked about a few times now, but is a new show on Apple TV Plus or whatever their package is called. They've put the first two episodes for free out on iTunes. Did it convince me to sign up properly for Apple Plus? Not yet. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. If you've been missing Community, this is that vibe. Silliness within a somewhat serious world.
The trailer looked I was excited about.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's got an Aussie in it.
It does, and she's really good.
Proper Aussie too.
Proper Aussie, and she is a very big presence on the show.
Okay, good.
Starts taking over very quickly.
Even by second episode?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Will they keep releasing them on iTunes?
Oh, yeah. Like, this is already signed for a second season.
Okay.
That's how happy they've been with it and the response to it and stuff like that. But it's really good fun. Danny Pudi, I have to say, from Community, is playing it completely against type.
Really?
It really surprised me.
Okay. In what way?
Imagine if someone cast Richard Ayoade, so Moss from the IT, as an asshole. The smartest guy in the room.
Is also the biggest jerk.
His character is the head of monetization. So everyone else is there to be
transactions.
Everyone else is there to be a creative, and he's the suit.
Okay.
And he's there of every opportunity. How can we turn this into an opportunity for a loot crate or a casino feature or everything is about that. So it plays with your expectations. If you see him and he's in the meeting and doesn't talk and you expect
– you know what he's going to say.
You know how Albert always is or how the characters he plays. And instead he just comes out with these really killer put-downs. And at one point someone's like, you're an asshole. He's like, are you just realizing this?
Ooh.
I'm the vulture.
Ooh, yikes.
So, yeah.
Fantastic.
Really good. If Apple gets another show or two in the mix, then I'll jump over. Because I think you can even get a first free year.
It is still early days. It's kind of like Disney Plus where you do get through the new things fast.
That's it. And I'm not going to watch the morning show. Or
would you watch that one with Jason Momoa about the whole world is blind?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't know. You know what's
on
the show.
I haven't heard too much about it.
I appreciate what Apple Plus is going for, but it's been called, you know, expensive NBC. And there's nothing on there other than this show that's really grabbed me as, hey, I've got to check that.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Amazon Prime. You get The Boys.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's different things around. Someone gets a show that makes me go, I have to migrate for that. They haven't had that yet.
That was Mandalorian.
I thought this show was going to be it for me, for Apple. It was really good. But there's only going to be a handful of episodes and then there'll be a long wait till season two.
And you can wait.
I can.
You can wait. We do have a quiz coming up for us from Tyler. He sent it in to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. So we'll do that soon. Have you got anything else?
No, that'll do. Hey, have you got anything else?
No, well, I do, but I feel like I've spoken enough.
So do I. I've got more I can crack into, but I'll keep it for another
Just
day.
Keep for another day.
I don't want to bombard everybody. We've already told them some really good stuff.
We are so good at telling people stuff. I've always thought that.
Plus, I'm kind of in sonic mood, so got to go fast. Move on.
Of course.
Let's go.
Well, I did quickly want to point out that you can check out The Watchers Pod or The Watchers Podcast on Twitter. I always forget to talk about Twitter. We do a lot on
We do a lot on Twitter.
So just look for The Watchers Podcast on Twitter. You'll find it. It's like The Watchers Pod 1.
Mm.
I think that's what it is. Because we are number one. Let's get into this quiz. Tyler. Hi, Watchers.
Hello.
I've got more of a discussion than a quiz. I hope you like it. I'll give you the name of a famous part and you have to recast it with a singer. The singer can be from any era at any age. Keep up the good work, Tyler.
All right.
So first one, John McClane, a.k.a. Bruce Willis in Die Hard. Who would we
John McClane.
What did
he
I
said
say?
John McClane. He was a presidential hopeful guy.
John McCain.
Imagine him in Die Hard.
Well, we can't because he's not a singer. What if we went for
Henry Rollins?
Oh, okay. That makes way more sense.
Who were you going to say?
I was going to go Simply Red.
Oh, Mick Hucknall.
Yeah, throw him in there.
Sure.
Because Bruce Willis at the time was when they were casting it, they were like, I don't think he's the proper action man.
No. Look, I'll make a dumb joke. You could get Michael Franti from Spearhead in because he refuses to wear shoes. He hasn't worn shoes in something like 30 years. That's a big part of John McClane's character.
Must be very thick soles.
No, it's disgusting. Put some bloody...
What if he goes to winter places?
I'm sorry. We have just touched on... I don't know if I've ever talked about this with you, but something that upsets me more than Cam's ham. When I'm in a
okay.
supermarket... When you go to the supermarket...
Yes.
Wear shoes. Mm. All right. If you're listening now and you go to the supermarket and you don't wear shoes.
Wear shoes.
All right. I saw someone doing it the other day and it is the first time that I've ever given someone a free pass in my life. And it was the day where we had the shocking floods and this guy had clearly walked and his shoes were waterlogged and he had taken them off
okay.
and was carrying the basket.
Yeah.
I looked at that and I said, you know what? I'm happy with that. But I get so mad.
Mm. Mm.
I say things under my breath. Yeah. I get close to them. I'm like, what's that smell? Is that, I think some fruit's off or something like that.
Smells like durian
fruit.
Oh,
my God. I don't care how comfortable and relaxed you are in your own skin. I'm not comfortable and relaxed with your skin being near the food.
So if you're sort of around like the beaches, like the northern beaches or whatever, or a beach.
Why? Is my first question.
Well, yeah,
why am I
that's
around that
true.
Area?
But imagine if you are in that area and you're like, oh, as I'm on my way home, I'll get something from the supermarket. Do you go, I'm not getting any, I'm not going to Coles DY. I'm going to drive further inland because those people are going to have no shoes on.
Yes.
I thought that'd be the answer.
I put my shoes on when I get out of the shower and I take my shoes off when I'm getting into bed. I'm not one for no short shoes malarkey. Mm. I will sometimes wear a sandal. Mm, never a thong.
Okay.
I don't like business between my toes.
Right. Oh, okay.
I don't like my feet.
Mm.
Why would I like anyone else's feet?
Yeah, oh, feet God, are not the most attractive part of a human.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I got really worked up about Michael Franti's shoeless thing because of John McClane in Die Hard that we are recasting.
There's quite a lot of singers that don't have shoes.
There are.
Because another person we could cast in that.
Yes.
Potentially could be the Talking Head singer. He doesn't wear shoes either, does he?
Sure.
He always wears the grey suit, though.
This is true. David Byrne.
Thank you. I couldn't remember.
I will give you now my serious answer. He's not a technical singer, but Andy Samberg from Lonely Island and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. His character on Brooklyn Nine-Nine is obsessed with John McClane and wants to be in Die Hard. That's who I would cast.
That's a good answer.
Thank you.
That one does count.
Okay, good. Because it took me a long time in my brain to get there, but I'm like, no, that's my answer.
There was the shoe thing that happened as well. So.
Henry Rollins.
Good one, Henry.
He'd be good.
He would be good.
But Andy Samberg, new generation.
Bit more comedy.
Yeah, so much screaming.
Yeah. What about Patrick Bateman, a.k.a. Christian Bale in American Psycho?
I could see Gavin Rossdale from Bush.
Mm.
There was a little bit of a period.
Oh, I like that.
There was a little bit of a period where he did some acting and he appeared in Constantine as maybe as Satan or as a devil. And he
really like that.
Incredibly slimy and yet magnetically charismatic.
Because he just has to stand there. I don't think I've ever seen him smile.
No.
That's not his thing.
So you could go for Jared Leto, but I don't.
Technically, he is a singer.
That's what I mean. But I don't see him bringing a different vibe to Christian Bale.
Do you know who I think would work? His name's Brian someone from Placebo.
Oh, Brian, not Malenko?
Something like that. Malenko? Not Maloko, because Maloko's a band.
And the great Malenko is Insane Clown Posse.
Put him in there. Okay,
yeah,
I think you mean. We figured that one.
Yeah, nice.
Harley Quinn, a.k.a. Margot Robbie in Birds of Prey.
Got to be someone like
I want to say Miley Cyrus.
I want to say like Nicki Minaj or someone that does the really schizophrenic voice.
What about...
Or Cardi.
Iggy Azalea.
Yeah.
Do you know who would be really good at doing it if you wanted it to be a huge flop?
Iggy Azalea?
Avril Lavigne.
Hey. Be very Canadian.
Hey. Sorry.
I can see Avril but being very punk with it. But like,
she'd be expressionless and that's not what Harley.
All the cast photos would be awkward because you'd make all them stand to the side.
I love going through those photos.
They are a gift that keeps giving.
Avril Lavigne meet and greet photos. Look that up now. It's brilliant. Nicole, Scarlett Johansson or Johansson in Marriage Story. So it's like someone quite serious.
It could be like an Adele.
Oh, yeah, Adele or Sarah McLachlan.
Sure. Lana Del Rey.
Lana Del
Make
Rey.
It very serious.
I can see her acting next to Adam Driver too.
Yeah.
He'd have to do most of the work, but.
Oh, gee, that'd be a vortex of depressive moroseness.
Yeah. Well, and the movie already is pretty heavy going.
I'm sorry I put this idea out there. We started out so bright and energetic today.
Well let's go bright and energetic, okay? Ready?
The idea of Lana Del Rey and Adam Driver.
Going through a divorce.
Yeah, and I swear that movie would be scored by like fucking Death Cab for Cutie.
What about Captain Steve Hiller, a.k.a. Will Smith, in Independence Day?
Ooh, Kanye.
Oh.
Imagine Kanye just defeating aliens with his ego. He could just overshadow their ship with his giant head.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm thinking not too far away from Will Smith. Why don't you go Jazzy Jeff?
Sure.
Be a British. Yeah, that's right. Do you know how to fly a plane? No, but I know how to use these decks.
Yeah. I would also happily have... yeah, boy.
Okay.
What's a Funkmaster Flex? No.
Oh.
Grandmaster Flash.
Yeah.
No, that's not Flash.
I thought you were talking about Lil...
Big Clock. Not Lil Wayne.
And who's the one that goes... Maybe it is Lil Wayne.
He's Lil John.
Like, yeah.
Okay, I could see him as well. No, I'm thinking Big Clock, Flavor Flav.
Oh, Flavor Flav.
I don't know why we're stuck on Funk.
Brilliant.
We don't need to go into it, but I watched a documentary in the early days of sampling and the first of Grandmaster Flash discovering how to cut and this sort of stuff. So that's why he's been on my brain.
Fair enough. That makes total sense. We've got one more.
Okay.
It's a duo.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy and Danny from Grease. So Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta. Is his name Danny? It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So those two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, because he did say, we can pick an era, a singer from any era at any age. So I want to go Dolly Parton from like Jolene era.
Yeah.
for obviously Sandy. And then for Danny, I want Johnny Cash.
Sure.
Different, but I think they could bring it.
Oh, that's a nice pairing. All right. I'll see you that.
Okay.
I want Carly Rae Jepsen.
That's a good cast already. Yes.
And Prince.
I'm on board with that.
It's a sexy, happy, androgynous, writhing mass.
The problem now is...
we can't ever do that.
We can't ever do that. And now I really need both of those to be filmed.
Maybe we should hit up the deepfakes guy.
Mm.
We didn't talk about that crazy Back to the Future one from this week. Yeah. Friends, if you saw that, please hit it in with Tom Holland and Robert Downey Jr. Let's hit him up and be like, dude, redo Grease, but here you go.
We need two versions of it, though.
Yeah. Give him different suggestions on stuff.
I had a lot of fun with that one.
That was a good one.
That
I
is
really
good.
Enjoyed that substitution.
Made us, like, both take part?
Mm.
Enjoyed that. If you have a quiz idea or something like that, or even a question or a watching suggestion, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Snaps for Tyler.
Oh, that was on fire. I enjoyed that one so much. Tom, until next week. Thank you.
Arrivederci. I don't know if I've done that one.
I don't think so. In Ab Fab, the grandmother would say, Arriva Turkey.